I mean, salsa is like inherently something that people think, and then they say, ooh, sexy, which it is sexy. And so I always talk to the women about it, and I say, you know, there's a difference between being sexy for you and being sexualized by other people. And it's your right to dance and to feel sexy and to move in your body and to touch it and whip your hair and not worry about what other people think, because you're not doing it for them, you're doing it for you.
Hey there, and welcome to the Lifepreneur Project. I'm Tanya Bernadette, a personal stylist who's passionate about helping others live their best life. But there's more to fashion than designer names and sparkly handbags. I love authentic conversations and sharing the true stories behind business, relationships, parenting, and personal growth. Style is a reflection of life, and I want to empower others through fashion and entrepreneurship. There are only two words that come to mind when I think of Lily Christensen. It's girl power. Being the only woman dance leader in the Seattle salsa community has made Lily a go-to for dancers looking for a place where they can thrive and feel empowered. As a Latina business owner, Lily stands up to sexism, keeping her professionalism and voice on the forefront to have her place on the dance floor. While her business is dance, a lot of her passion lies in the preservation and continuation of Latin culture, which is why she focuses on Latin dance and music. She uses storytelling, movement, and modern culture to keep her style fresh. Studio Soul is a place where you can build your confidence through dance, fitness, and community. This conversation is really special to me because I spent 10 years competing, performing, and social dancing in the Seattle salsa scene as well. It's a place where I always loved, yet I felt alone too. So when Lily came to the scene, she opened up an inclusive space that I wish I had at the time I started. In this episode, we talk about how Studio Soul builds a space to set people free and is an all-inclusive environment, the difference between being sexy and sexualized, how Instagram has fueled her advertising for free, the challenges of being a woman leader in a male-dominated industry, and finding out when a workout isn't for you. Make sure to share this with your friends when you hear something that inspires you. Take a screenshot of this podcast and send it in a group chat or share it on Instagram stories and tag me. Doing this simple act can help brighten someone's day, give them hope, and let them know that you're thinking of them. Thank you so much for joining me today. Oh my gosh, I've known you for, I don't even know how many years, but in the salsa scene, we've known each other for so long, and I've always just wanted to sit and talk to you about business because you are such a great businesswoman. And just watching you flourish all these years, I'm super excited to just talk and hear about your experiences.
I'm so excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
I kind of want to start from the beginning. So I know from your history that you've been dancing since you were 3 years old. How do you continue staying inspired and dancing still and evolving as a person?
Dang, right for the good questions. I don't know. I mean, I've always loved dancing, and it's something that I remember, like, being very young and being in class with maybe people who I felt like were better at dancing than me, or, you know, like, were, they had something that I didn't have. And then I would always just, like, check in with, like, this deep passion that I had for dance, and I kept reminding myself, even like in my early high school days, I was like, this is what I love, like that's what sets me apart, and then I just never gave up. You'll know if you ask anyone on my teams that I stay inspired by changing the dances like every 5 minutes. I'm always like coming up with some sort of crazy idea where I'm like, we're gonna wear a mask, and they're like, okay. But now what keeps me really inspired is watching salsa and the way that it's changing, the way that, like, I grew up watching my mom on salsa teams in, like, the early 2000s, and what that is versus what we see today is so different. And it's a new era where pushing the envelope and sending a message or creating a choreography that has a story is a concept that's really new to salsa. And so over the past 3 or 4 years, I really enjoyed taking the storytelling aspect of other styles of dance and putting them into salsa and finding ways to like fuse styles together. I just love dancing.
Oh my gosh. And your first question, you just literally answered everything I want to talk about. And so I want to dive deeper into all of that because that's everything about you. And so I wanted to know about, I actually didn't know that your mom danced salsa before. What?
Yeah, my mom and I were on a salsa team together. So like my first salsa team, I was like 17 and my mom was on it.
That is so cute. I want to see pictures though. Oh my gosh.
I'm like home right now.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, my mom wants to learn my new dance. She was like, can I learn your dance?
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
You should have her come on and do some kind of performance with you.
I literally told her, I was like, if you learn it, we can do a video together.
That's awesome. So then how did you discover salsa dancing? Was it through your mom or what was your first experience?
Yeah, so I'm Colombian. So in my household, we always listened to salsa music. Back in those days, I was kind of like a bratty teenager. So whatever my mom liked, I didn't like. And so people now who I grew up around who come to congresses and see me like teaching and performing, they're like, remember when you didn't like salsa? I just was exposed to it really young. I started dancing salsa at home, like a lot of people at family parties with, uncles and aunts and, friends around. And I didn't really start taking it seriously until, I had an injury to my back. So I started to like think about what I would do other than be a dancer. And I got like a 9-to-5 job. And I got like very depressed and I started to feel like a part of me was missing. And for adults, salsa dancing is a really great outlet. So I started taking classes and then I joined a team and then I started directing the team and then it all just kind of like snowballed really quickly.
I always love hearing how people discover salsa because for everyone it's a little bit different, but there's something that just like sticks with you, even when it's difficult in the beginning. Like my first experience, I was 15 years old in Peru and I saw it growing up. It wasn't until I was 15 where I actually danced for the first time and I could not, I still have it on video. I could not move my hips. I couldn't like, it's so funny after how I've evolved since then, but I could not figure it out for the life of me. And then when I was 17, I don't think you were here when it was open, but there was this place called the Wilsonian that was kind of like Century Ballroom, but smaller. And I remember I was 17 years old and I went there for an all ages night and I just sat there watching everybody. And I was so like, oh my gosh, this world is so beautiful. Like how they've made salsa like look like this. And then I was just hooked. And I tried copy. I remember like standing on the side. I was like 17 years old. And I'm like, how can I do this? And I'd be like standing on the side. And I was like, ooh, look at her and her pretty hands. And a long time ago.
Yeah, that's basically how it goes.
Yeah. And so now, and by the way, I cannot see you working a 9-to-5 job. That's so funny.
Yeah.
What were you doing?
I had like what I thought was a dream job. So I was working in dance retail marketing. So I worked for a local business here in Salt Lake City, which is where I'm joining you from today. So I did like a lot of like group sales and marketing and I kind of thought it was the dream job. I was like, oh, I have a good schedule. I get to talk about dance all day. But it wasn't the same.
Yeah. And when did you decide, because you recently opened your own studio, how long ago was it that you opened?
We opened almost 3 years ago.
Okay. But you revamped and got a newer studio, right?
Yeah. So yeah. We expanded into a larger space. It's like 3 times bigger in January of this year. Ideal timing.
Trust me, you're not the only business. I have 2 other friends that just opened new places. I have one that has a boutique and one that has a fitness place in Kirkland. And yeah, same timing.
It'll be fine.
And what what drew you to get another studio? What made you feel like, oh my gosh, this feels like such a good time to do this?
Yeah, I mean, just to kind of touch a little bit on like my business story. So I moved to Seattle in 2014, and I started working at some studios, and then I started running my ladies team, and that really grew. So I was just out renting out spaces, and I got to the point where I was always working like odd jobs in the morning. I would teach fitness or be a nanny and then teach dance at night. And it got to a point where I had enough dancers that I knew that I could afford a small space and break even on the dance team, and then have a studio space to start running classes or to rent out or whatever. So I paid for the first studio in cash. I just saved up all my money and did a little build out on a really small 1,000 square foot space in Lake City. And then I just hustled. I had three jobs on top of the dance studio, but I would work all day and then go to the studio at night and teach. And slowly the studio just started to blow up. So I just started to get like more people in class, and I slowly stepped away from some of my other jobs. And then I got to a point where just like every class was so full in the old studio that it was like uncomfortable. It was like so hot in there that like the mirrors were like fogged up. Like everyone was just like looked like a wet rat when they left. Like some people were like dancing over by the cubbies. I was like, okay, we need a little more space. So yeah, we expanded.
That is so awesome. Oh my gosh. Yeah, I don't think I ever went to the studio that you had before, but I remember seeing pictures, and when it was packed, I was like, oh my goodness, you definitely have to expand. Yeah. And yeah, exactly. I love to check your new space because it looks so pretty. I love the colors. I love the wallpaper. Oh my gosh. Where did you
find
it?
Yeah, I was really excited. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I was really excited about the new space. I think that like I kind of revisited why I wanted a space, why I felt like what I do is important. And part of it is a lot about like representing Latino, like Latin heritage. So I pulled a lot of inspiration from Miami, which is just like, to me, the hub of like Latin American culture. Like we have tons of second generation Latinos. They own businesses. It's like bright. Fun. It's got like kind of a tropical vibe to it. So I pulled a ton of inspiration for the design from Miami. Also in Seattle, it's kind of nice to walk into somewhere that's like pink and there are leaves and there's lots of plants and it's just like fresh.
Love it. I feel like dance is a world of rules and expectations. And how do you create a space that sets people free? Because I think you do a really good job with that.
I think a lot of it comes down to a conversation where a lot of times we just talk about it. I'll just like straight up bring it up. We'll be doing a move and I think we kind of attract people who are similar to us, but we'll do something or I'll say, you know, normally this move is something that's like saved for more masculine dancers, but like we're going to do it in the heels and we're going to make it look freaking good. We talk a lot about community and about, you know, empowering one another. And I think as the leader, when you set that kind of expectation, you know, right now I have almost 40 women on four different salsa teams. They're all committed. They've been running their classes through the pandemic. And there's never any like drama or like cattiness, because I think when you step in and just say, you know, this is a space where women empower one another, either people really align with that vision. And if it's not for them, they don't stick around. So we just have like a really safe space where I think that the women who are attracted to our vision, they are really into like meeting up with one another and building each other up and like, you know, understanding that they're all in this situation that's kind of uncomfortable. You're like dancing and it's like hard and you're wearing heels and just like we were talking about, it's like, how do I get my hand to do exactly that? But they're all in it together. And I think that's what makes it really special.
I think that the most beautiful part about salsa is that you can teach a basic to everybody, to a ton of people, and every single person, their body, their way of movement, their personality, they just interpret it different. And I'm one of those people that I like to dance, but I also like to sit on the sidelines. I kind of like to take it in because I think it's so so beautiful just watching everybody dance together. But there is, just with fashion and everything, and I always like to bring it up because it is a place where it's also kind of judgy. And I know for myself, when I hear things, I always just say what I told you. I'm like, I think that's really beautiful. I love that they're out there doing this. I love that they're even trying. I love that they're having fun. Like, I try to create a space. And so people don't say things to me anymore because I always turn it around and make it positive. But what do you do? Like, how do you help your students feel more confident? Do you actually talk about in your classes anything about building confidence and talking to each other and just being supportive?
Yeah, I mean, I think we do a lot of like exercises where we'll like just walk or just like, you know, talk about like, how do you feel in this move? Something that I say all the time is like, I mean, salsa is like inherently something that people think, and then they say, ooh, sexy, which it is sexy. And so I always talk to the women about it, and I say, you know, there's a difference between being sexy for you and being sexualized by other people, and it's your right to dance and to feel sexy and to move in your body and to touch it and whip your hair and not worry about what other people think because you're not doing it for them, you're doing it for you. So I think for a lot of women, it's been an opportunity for them to like take a certain power back over their body and the way that, you know, women are perceived. And I really walk a fine line, and I bring it up all the time where I always say, you know, we're here to be sexy, but I would never do anything that would make you feel uncomfortable, that I feel like would be inappropriate to do in front of your children, or you know, there's just like a line, and we walk on that line, and I just really empower them to feel good about themselves.
I don't know about you, but I love taking quizzes. I've created a 10-question style personality quiz that will help you better understand how to harness your power through the fashion choices you make. I know how easy it is to get stuck in that cycle of buying the same things over and over again. It's easy, you know it works, but now you're bored. It's time to break free. Get excited about your wardrobe again and try something new. Don't worry, I'm right here to guide you with functional fashion solutions to fit your individual lifestyle. Whether you're a busy professional, a mom at home, or a casual lady in need of flexibility. Once you complete the quiz, you'll get a list of 5 trends that'll refresh your current wardrobe, plus ideas on a couple stores to check out online that match your style personality. Head on over to mycloseteddit.com, that's mycloseteddit.com, to take the free quiz and find out what trends match your style personality.
And you are really business savvy and creative, and I didn't know that you're 9-to-5 job before was in marketing. Did that help you, or do you currently, or have you worked with business coaches or mentors or taken any courses or classes on business?
Yeah. So I kind of feel like I was like destined to end up in this position. So I graduated from high school early, and started studying modern dance. And then just after my associates, I had an injury. So then I started studying interior design. And then I went to hair school. So I like kind of like dabbled in all of these things. And then I took this job, and then I moved to Seattle. And I took a marketing management and small business course at the University of Washington. It was a postgraduate degree program. It was a year long. There was a lot about like entrepreneurship. I learned a lot about social media marketing. It was really cool because there was a lot of people looking to change careers. It was like a really hyper-focused course. I highly recommend it. I kind of like had all these like random skills where I'm like, here's how we're going to do our hair for the performance. Here's how I want the studio to look. So it just is kind of like all like fused together, and none of it was wasted time. It's all experience that has like really strongly benefited me in where I am today.
I kind of did the same thing. When I was in high school, I wanted to do interior design, and I took an AutoCAD class. I'm like, I hate math. I don't want to do this.
It's so hard. It's so hard. Like, where's the part where you make the board?
Yeah, and on the computer, everything had to be perfect. And my teacher was strict. In that class, we either got an A or you failed, because he's like, if that house that you build is even a centimeter off and that thing falls down, you are going to be sued. Like, he was strict. It was A or fail. And I was like, no. And then I took a sewing class and I was like, I want to do fascia. I took sewing. I was like, I cannot sit in a room by myself this long designing and sewing. And then I took a business class and I loved it, but I wanted to do fashion. And so I ended up doing fashion marketing, and that was like the perfect combo. And you said that you took a class at UW. How long ago was that?
I did that when I first moved. So it must have been like 2015. So something I will say about the course is that it was super helpful. It like guided me through a lot of like different ways to build a business plan, like different like resources that I still use today for like sending out emails. But it's so hard to stay up to date on tech. So a lot of the stuff we learned was like social media marketing, and that's something that I still like take seminars or webinars on, just because I've been able to build a really big following, just through Instagram, for the studio. A lot of like 90% of people who come through the door, when I say like, how did you hear about us? They through Instagram. We did like very little paid advertising ever. So it's all about just like staying fresh and like continuing to pivot, which is what we're all doing right now.
Do you have any, like, I love business stuff. And like you said, you have in your business, you have to continue evolving, and it changes really quickly. In the past 11 years I've been in business, I've rebranded 3 times. We've redone our website like 5 times, because what people find attractive, like the colors, the text, how much people are reading constantly changes. And like you said, social media too. I currently, like, my favorites are Amy Porterfield and Jenna Kutcher. I love learning from them. They have so much great material. Are there any that you listen to or people that you learn from?
I'm associated with an iFund Women group. It's like it's an entrepreneur group where they help women raise seed money for their startups. So it's just kind of like an email list that I signed up for, and they do a ton of webinars. They do like 2 or 3 a month, so I try to tune into those. Also, I'm lucky that through Lululemon, who I'm an ambassador for, and through Carbon 38, they give us a ton of like resources for growth and how to inspire your community and how to, you know, switch to digital. So I would say more than like follow one person, I'm kind of plugged into a couple communities and Seattle Business Babe. So there's like a lot of resources that are free for people to take classes and check out, you know, things that interest them.
With that said, what advice do you have for, because you do work with a lot of young entrepreneurs, what is one piece of advice that you like to give young entrepreneurs that are starting out?
Ooh. I think it's funny because of the like current pandemic situation we're in. I'm like, be cautious. But actually what I always say is, you know, there's never a right time. A lot of people who I talk to, they always are like people who are working a 9-to-5 job who are passionate about photography or, you know, something else. And they keep saying, well, when I make this much money, then I'm going to leave my job and do it. And I always say, you know, be smart, like crunch the numbers, make a business plan. Don't just like throw caution to the wind, but there's never a right time. There's never enough money saved up. There's never the perfect market. If you want to do something, you just take the calculated steps and then jump.
Mm-hmm. Now that I have a baby, I say that about having a baby too.
It's never a right time. You'll never not miss something.
Nothing in life has a right time. If it happens and you want to do it, just go with it.
Exactly.
What is the biggest challenge that you've had to overcome, and what is the lesson that you've learned through that challenge?
I think my biggest challenge and something that I'm constantly overcoming is kind of what you touched on earlier, where salsa is still like a very gendered industry. So being a business owner, being the only salsa studio owned by a female in Seattle, and then being a dancer who still tours, it's really hard to even get your foot in the door, like much less like get a seat at the table, just because people don't respect you as much, especially if you don't act a certain way, which is part of Latin culture, right? Where it's like, if you come in like in a business mentality, they're like, whoa, like, why are you being so aggressive? And I'm like, I'm not being aggressive. I'm just asking you for what you owe me or telling you like what you need to know. So like finding out that a lot of people who have seats at those tables like don't even know how they got there has been a challenge that I've always had to overcome and something that I'm always overcoming. I think caring less about whether people have liked me or not, and just knowing that like what I have to say is important, and whether that rubs people the right way or the wrong way, knowing that I don't want to work with the people who don't respect me and I'm not going to like do something that's not me to please them. So yeah, just kind of always overcoming gender roles in a culture and an industry that still values women less.
Have you heard of the book Untamed by Glennon Doyle?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually just bought it. I have not finished it, or I haven't even opened it yet. But
I started a book club, and today's our last day with it. But that book goes over so much about gender roles and how we've been trained so much to like think about certain people a certain way because that's what we were taught. And I love that you talked about that, because in the book it also talks about how women call each other bossy, or even men call a woman bossy when she's actually just a confident leader that knows what she wants. And just being able to stand your ground is so important. And I love that you're doing that. It's really hard. I have a friend who, her name is Jamie June. She's very known in the car industry. And that's another place that is all dominated by men. And she gets turned down. She has a huge following, yet she still gets turned down and has to work two times harder just to get partnerships and stuff. Like, people will turn her down because her brand is called Beauty and Keys. And they're like, there's no women in that industry. She's like, there's a ton of women in that industry. It's crazy. It just blows my mind how still we have to work so hard to go against that. Oh, fires me up. It's all inside me. I think that right now too, like, all of us have this capability of growing so much in all of our industries. I know some people have been in fear, but I'm trying to turn that around because I can see so much growth in myself with my industry and in your industry and everybody's industry. Can you share how you're shifting your in-person dance sessions and turning it to virtual?
Yeah. So we started before, in Seattle, Amazon stopped having people go into work. So as early as early March, we were like, uh-oh, something's going to happen. And part of, I think, being like a savvy business owner is trying to run ahead of the curve. So I started testing live streaming options for my classes while we still had classes going on with people in them. You know, what platform works? How does this work? Do people like it? And then we transitioned to a fully digital membership. So what we do is we live stream about 10 classes a week, and then I pre-record classes. And we, starting June 1st, have switched it all over to what I'm calling Studio Azul TV, which is a subscription platform where people can just register. You can tune into the live classes, which is fun. We don't use Zoom because everything we do is so like based on music that if it's even like a little bit off, it's like an eye twitch like situation for me. So we use Vimeo, which is awesome because there's like really high video quality, the sound is really crisp, and then there's a chat feature, so we can chat during the workouts and the classes. We now have something like 50 pre-recorded and saved archived classes. And people have really enjoyed it. Being able to work out at home, being able to take class at home, it's really shown me that, especially with dance classes, the ability to pause or to rewatch a section or to even do the same class twice is super valuable to people, and it's something that I never realized. And then the most exciting thing is that we've had people from all over the country. We have members in California, New York, in Seattle, in Spokane, so being able to touch hopefully internationally soon and nationally now has been a huge bonus to this time.
That is so exciting because there's so much that you can do, like just to spread. I love that. I love dance. I haven't done dance yet because after the baby is born, I forget the the technical term of it, but my abs got separated. So I have to do like I'm doing this special exercise. But I do it all virtually and I love it because in the middle of the day, I take a break because I'm on the computer now so much and I'm very active. I'm a runner. I work out. I dance. I haven't been able to run because of what's happening. I'm trying to take care of myself. But it was easy to just switch to doing something virtual. I was really surprised. I'd never worked out from home. I always do my workouts outside or at the gym or just out with people. But I've actually really been enjoying doing it at home. I want to check yours out though, because I need to get back into dance now that I'm getting recuperated here.
Yes, I know. I think it's really cool. And I think that the industry in the future is going to look like a mix of both, where it's like, yes, the in-person energy is great and it's really fun, but it's also sometimes scheduling in our workouts. And I mean, even someone like you, if you have a child to care for and you're working full time, like taking what actually ends up being closer to 2 hours to get to the gym, to park, to work out for an hour, and then to get home, sometimes it's not doable. And I think a lot of times it ends up being more of a stressor than like something after you do it, you feel good, but then you're like, oh, I lost 2 hours. So just being able to plug it in at home is so huge.
And how are you, this is something I'm thinking about for my business, Trina. I've been asking other women that have their businesses. We all love to connect outside of video, obviously, and I know we all miss that. But at the same time, I know that some of us, like myself, we're getting used to being on video and we're finding the convenience of it. So I feel like now when we create events or we create an experience, we have to make it extra special to get people out of the house. Are you thinking into the future of kind of things that you want to do differently to create more of an experience for the people that are coming into the dance studio?
I think that I've always kind of thought about things as like, how is this experience going to be for people? But what I definitely see for the future is just making sure that there is the option to tune in online. And then for our industry in particular, it's going to be a really interesting world to navigate as far as, you know, having a lot of space between people, doing these workouts where we're sweating and we're in an enclosed space. So something that I've done during this quarantine is I created a new fitness format that is going to allow for people in my studio to have an experience, kind of defend the trend of fitness right now is dark room, loud music, like kind of a clubby vibe. So I created a workout that's the same vibe that you can't get at home, unless you have like a club life situation, but you can't normally get it at home. And then people can be on their mat with a lot of space in between them, and you just kind of live in your own little mat, and it's cardio and toning and dancing all in like 45 minutes. So that's been something that I've been like, how are we going to get people to want to come back? And what can we do that is, yeah, a special thing that happens in the studio that you could do from home, but if you're really looking for the experience, you'd want to come in for.
Yeah, I really wonder how it's going to change for partner dancing. I know some of my friends, like, you miss that. You know, there's something about when you connect with another, you don't even need to know that person's name, and you can instantly connect with somebody when you dance. And it's like, how do you get that? You cannot recreate. And so it's just waiting for that to come back, or just having full body suits.
It's like a full hazmat suit.
I know, right? It works.
Yeah, I have no idea what that's going to look like. And honestly, being a studio that focuses, we focus predominantly on Shines, which is solo salsa dancing, which has kind of been a barrier for me sometimes because people don't understand it. They're like, wait, no, you do salsa with a partner. I'm like, well, you can. But now it's kind of become a strength where it's that's what we've always focused on. So we'll have an easier time returning. And then we also do date nights where when we do partner dancing, we just have people bring their own partner and dance together, which is what we were doing before this. So it'll be nice to return to that where it's just you and your partner on your little date night learning how to dance. So.
I did not know that you do that. That is such a good idea because people, something that's hard with people that are dancers is that their partners don't dance. They feel intimidated. They don't want to go out, but everybody just brings their partner and they can be together in just a safe space.
And experience something new together, right? A lot of salsa classes, for those who don't know, it's you get to the class and then you rotate, which is good because you meet a lot of people and you learn the move with different people and you don't have your spouse being like, no, it's the left foot. But it can be really intimidating when you don't know anybody to be like, you don't know how to dance. Now go dance with her. It's like, wait, no, I don't even know how to do this with someone that I know.
Oh, that's such a cute idea. I do want to read something off your website that I like. It says, Studio Azul is more than a dance and fitness studio. It's a place where people work on life's greatest masterpiece, themselves. I feel like you can expand on this. I want you to expand on this a little bit because I think it's a quote that has more to do than dance. And I feel like your brand has more to do with dance. I feel like it has to do with a lot. And that's a good little
capsule. Yeah. I think we focus on, I mean, kind of some of the things that we've talked about. We focus on confidence. We focus on community. Yes, people are learning a new skill, which is so good for your brain. But then we also offer all of the fitness classes, and we encourage people to participate in those. And a lot of the verbiage that I use is, it's not about being thin or looking a certain way. It's about, you know, moving your body and being healthy and conditioning for a sport. So I think all of that together makes like a really well-rounded program that's like an art skill and fitness and a community of people to back you up, and then just the internal growth and commitment of saying like, I'm going to show up every single week. I'm going to put myself out there. I'm going to do performance most likely. I'm going to, you know, meet new people and sit down with them and know their stories. At the end of it, I see people come out. I've had members with me since the first season that I ever had. So people have stayed with me for like 5+ years at this point because they just love the community. They love how it makes them feel. And so watching those people come out of a shell and see them like, you know, take leadership in their careers or move into instructor roles, you know, be more confident at work. People have told me that they feel more confident standing in front of their team and speaking because they stood in front of like 200 people wearing tights and fringe dancing. Like suddenly like the public speaking doesn't seem like that much. They're just allowing people to kind of take their own journey of growth. We serve beginners all the way through like professional dancers with 20+ years of experience, and just seeing each of them kind of evolve into the best versions of themselves is the best part about what we do.
Yeah, dance, I do believe, is really a mindset. When people tell me that they don't have it in their blood to dance, or they don't even know how and they'll never be able to, I'm like, trust me, my mom is Peruvian. You do not need blood to dance, because I could not dance for the life of me. And I remember when I first started dancing when I was 17, I did not have any confidence in dance. And I tried so hard. It literally took me, and I tell people that story, it took me probably 4 years, and I was trying to perform and I just wasn't believing in myself. And that set me back so much. And I remember taking classes with Salsa Mania because my ex-husband and I were training. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to do this. I'm going to figure it out. I want to dance. I love it. I don't know why I just feel so bad about myself when I dance, because I did. And I took classes with them, and they had this way of building my confidence where they saw me in a way that I didn't see myself. And because they saw that in me, they took it out of me. And in 3 months of dancing with them, my dance like changed completely. Like I could move my hips. I had my head up. I was like doing it all in 3 months just because somebody else believed in me and helped me believe in myself. So mindset is huge. And after that, it changed it. Like you said, it changes like other parts of your life as well. It's so important, mindset.
And it's also like, if you feel, I always like say this when we do a move, I'm like, if you feel sexy, you look sexy. It's like a life hack. It's like owning what you're doing, no matter what it is. Like, it's such a shift. I like say that all the time. I'm like, there's nothing more awkward than watching somebody use something that they clearly don't want to do in their heart. So like, if this is not in your heart, like let's sit down and chat. But if this is in your heart, like put that out into the world and you will feel better and you will look better.
Yes, I say that about clothes too. Like something can fit you and look good on you, but doesn't mean that you feel good in it or that it's for you. And you just have to be careful of what people think and what people want to put on you, because it's not going to work for you. You have to work with what feels most comfortable for you and what makes you feel sexy or makes you feel confident and good. I want to talk about change because change is all, this podcast is all about change. People are trying to change their lives. They want to try something new. And when it comes to change, people don't realize how hard it can be. So you take 2 steps forward and then you take 3 steps back. And that's just part of it when you're trying to create something new in your life. Do you have any advice for people that are trying to create positive changes in their life?
I think welcoming discomfort and kind of becoming familiar with that threshold of like being in tune with yourself and saying, okay, what is a discomfort that is guiding me in a good way? And what is a discomfort that is maybe a sign saying like, maybe this isn't for me. I think sometimes we get like so hooked on change that people like sign up for a certain workout. And even if it's not like something that's really speaking to their heart, they're like, but I'm going to change and I've got to do it. And to me, that doesn't create lasting change. So I think it's about really continuing to check in with yourself and being really self-aware of, okay, change is going to be uncomfortable. And I need to listen to that discomfort and push into it and also know when it's time to pivot and detour. And maybe I still want to experience new fitness programs, but that one wasn't the one. And having the grace of saying, it's okay if something wasn't for me because I tried it, and knowing what like the overarching goal is as far as your change is concerned. Like, I want to be more confident. Maybe you came and tried my dance class and you were like, that was crazy. I don't want to do that. And maybe belly dancing is for you, right? It's just like, what is the main goal? And then how can we create lasting change within that?
No one has given that answer. And that just sums up so much. That was really good. That made me think about times I tried. Everybody loved hot yoga when it was a thing. And I went in and it was hot. And I was falling asleep and yawning. And I felt so bad because the instructor was so good. And I went 5 times. I'm like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. This is good for me. This is, and I kept telling myself, this is good for me. But it just wasn't for me.
Yeah, there's just things that are good for people that are just not for us. Like, there are plenty of things that I've tried and been like, I'm going to love this. And then like 20 minutes right in, I'm like, I'm not like this.
Thank you so much for spending time with me today. And for everybody listening, you have to follow Lily. You're going to love her Instagram. She has such a great social media. I love flipping through it because your photos are great. What you write is great. Can you share with us where everybody can find you?
Yeah. So you can find me on Instagram. It's at Lily, L-I-L-Y, Marie, M-A-R-I-E, 19. And from there, you can find my studio. Studio is Little Seattle. We're most active on Instagram. So if you really want to connect with us, that's going to be your best bet. I would love to meet all of you.
And I'm going to have that in the show notes so you can click through and find her. And she has challenges. She's got videos. So I'm sure you're going to find something that you'll really love.
My three biggest takeaways. One, there is more to salsa than I had thought. In 11 years, I was stuck in the same group without really venturing out to see how salsa had been evolving elsewhere. I wish when I had started, there was a powerful leader in salsa like Lily. This is a big lesson on doing more research within your own industry or hobby, especially if you feel like you don't fit in or it's not the right space for you. Number two, there's more work to do as a woman. I know that men are still dominating many industries, but every time I speak to someone about this, it just fires me up again. Even though as a woman, I may rub people the wrong way, by approaching a conversation with confidence and strength, I've got to remember not to diminish my voice or presence to make myself smaller. Number three, the difference between sexy and sexualized. I'm really glad that Lily brought this up. I know that I've been judged by others when I tell them that I was a salsa dancer. I never became a dancer because it was sexy. I became a salsa dancer because the music moves me. It lights me up, and it's a place where I can escape work, stress, and time. If I come across as looking sexy, it's because I'm feeling powerful in that energy. I'd also like to know what your biggest takeaways are. Sharing is the best form of putting what you learn into action and retaining all that valuable information that you take in. Go to my blog at myclosetedit.com or share in the comments below. Start a chain of positivity today. If you heard something that moved you and you want to bring light to someone's day, take a screenshot of this podcast and share it in a private message or on your Instagram stories and tag me and today's guest, Lily Christensen or Studio Soul. You never know who might need uplifting content today. Remember that every day is a new day to make a positive change in your life. Be that light lifepreneur. Thank you so much for spending time with me today, and I'll catch you next time on the Lifepreneur Project podcast.